If you have joined First Presbyterian Church over the last 8 years, the first class we always read a scripture that I have always seen as a scripture that I identify with, and I want to make sure that people who join the church know that this is kind of what we're after. This is kind of what we're going to be shooting for together as a team here at First Presbyterian Church. And that scripture is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Over these years, it has been a goal of mine that this church would sponsor and understand and know the life journey of missionaries throughout this world. And 7 years ago, was it, Don and Andrew? About 7 years ago, Don Huber, I think, put a note in my box or sent me an email, or I think this was before texting. And she said, "Hey, there's this missionary, there's this family that's about to go on the mission field. Really would like for you all to get to meet them and just see if this is something that you all might be interested in." And so Andrew and I met and met with a M&F back 7 years ago as well. And for me, I served on the mission field for 18 years, if you count the 9 years that I grew up in Italy as a missionary kid. So that half my life, right? 18 years. And for me, it's really important that we as a church understand, not just have a picture in our mind of what it's like to be a missionary, but actually hear and understand some of the challenges and some of the joys as well that come with being a missionary, not having just hearing it from your pastor, but also from people in the field that we actually support and sponsor. And so I had a sermon planned for this Sunday. If you remember last week, it says, "Don't mess with a missionary man." And I realized no one knows that song from the Eurythmics. I'm the only one who knows that song. But I expected fully to preach on that. It's in Acts, and I met with Andrew, and I met with also a woman named Amanda Swanson, who I met with her yesterday at noon at the Speckled Hen, and she realized as soon as I got there that I was the wrong Pastor Bob, that we don't actually support her. And we had a great lunch. It was wonderful. She said, But I should probably go to the church that supports me. I said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." So we were planning on having Amanda with us as well, and I panicked because I told Andrew, "You know, you have about 10 minutes," and I said, "Hey, can you make it 20? He said, "Sure, no problem." So I want to welcome up Andrew, and I'm not going to say his last name, and Christina, and I'm not going to say her last name, because you're going to be able to go online and hear what they have to say. And so Ray, make sure you don't put their last name. They serve in a place that's very sensitive, and in a place where someone within that government were to Google their name. So don't put anything on social media, those of you under 20. So don't put anything on social media with their last name, just because out of an abundance of caution, we don't want to have anything, we don't want to jeopardize their ministry in any way. So welcome, you all. It's great to have you. Thank you for leading us and for bailing me out. Appreciate it.
Yes. Am I live here? Is this mic live? I'm on. See a green light? Live yet? I'm really far away. There. Okay. There we go. Okay. Yes, Bob's good at mixing up his lunch dates. I had to mix up myself this week. I went to barbecue, and he was at Speckled Hen. So It was during the torrential downpour this week, and we got our paths straightened out. So, yes, as he said, I thank you for interrupting your regularly scheduled programming this week to make some room for us. We will glad to be here, and just resonate a lot with your vision as you seek to know, grow, and go with God. And we're just a pleasure to be here and partner with you all in ministry here in Strasbourg and around the world. So I want to introduce you or reintroduce for some of you to some of our family and what it is that we've been involved in these past several years. About 5 years ago, it wasn't all of that crew, but that's the crew that we have now, our Christina and our three boys who live there with us. And that was taken Christmas in a local Presbyterian congregation that we had the pleasure to be involved with for the first year and a half of our time in the city that we live in now. So if you can continue on, just a little bit of orientation. You can see on the screen there the area of the world that we live in. And you see it superimposed on the map of the U.S. to get an idea. It's a little bit larger than the size of Texas. It's not over Texas in that map, but you can see a little bit, get an idea of where that is and how big it is. And there's about 80 million people. To date, there are about 7,000 believers or Jesus followers in the country. There's about 1,500 foreign workers in the country, and half of those are split up into three different cities. You can see the cities on the western side of the country. Those are the main cities where people have engaged in ministry that coming from other countries. And if you click one more time, you can get a feel for the area of the world is where the surrounding countries that are around us as well. A lot of those have, of course, been in the news a lot lately. So it's an interesting place to be and engaged in just in day-to-day life. A lot of people coming and going from day to day as well. But 5 years ago, if you continue on here, we took those two guys, and we took this is where we landed. We were in a city in the central part of the country in Western Asia, and it was surrounded by these fairy chimneys, interesting geological formations, fascinating place to visit. And so we lived in this city for about 100,000 people. It's where we studied language and got to know the culture and the people. Our oldest son was enrolled in public school there, and our second son also was enrolled in preschool there. So we were just engaged in daily life, getting to know the culture and the people and language as we enculturated. So after about 2 years, we switched gears. We came back here to Lancaster area and retooled and switched gears and went out with a bit of a different focus. We were engaged with a team in this area to plant churches and engage in ministry. But we came with a new focus where we launched to a different city, if you advance again. So we live in this city now of about 15 million people, which, as you can imagine, can be full of its own stresses living in a city of that size. Famous for its history, but also today it's known for its traffic. It's repeatedly shows up in lists of world's top 10 congested cities that I keep seeing, and I'm reminded of that daily. But it's an interesting city with people from a variety of backgrounds, cultures that can come together in this place. And with that, you see a wide spectrum of belief. You see a lot of people that are very conservative, very devout Muslims, but also you see people that are very secular, atheist, a variety of backgrounds and beliefs. But within that city, there is a small but growing church presence that is reaching out and seeking to share Jesus in their daily life as well. So when we landed there 2 years ago, we were looking for a place to live. We had some parameters in the area that we were looking at, and we were led to this apartment complex that you see up on the right-hand side. Within our first week of living there, God confirmed to us in a very real, tangible way that this was a good place for us to be. The woman up on the left-hand side next to my wife there just saw her out in the playground with our kids and, you know, welcomed her, said hello, and welcomed her into her friend group, which is a very significant thing in the local culture. Ladies get together oftentimes for tea or just, informal social gatherings in their home. And so she was welcomed into this group, and here you see she welcomed them into our home as well, on the bottom left, welcomed them into our home to make Christmas cookies, which has become an annual tradition in our household. In spite of, this group has been kind of divided. Some of them have moved away. Others have grudges against each other. But even in spite of that, this Christmas cookie gathering still went off with a success this year, and we were grateful and just to see how God could pull that together. But then in turn, I've gotten to know some of the guys in those families as well. Here we hosted them for Thanksgiving last year. It was our gathering to share the tradition of American Thanksgiving. But we had a pleasure just opening our home, and they get to know us. They get to see who we are. They ask us questions all the time, and we are just privileged to share our life and who we are as people, as believers in Christ as well. So we have connections at home, but we also have connections at school. If you, our kids were enrolled in this school. When we got there, we still had to finalize our residency permits, and we were down to the week before school started, and as we'd already met those people, they said, well, why don't you just check out our school and see? So we went to this private school to enroll our kids, and they welcomed them into the family of the school there, and it's been a great place for our kids to continue to learn and develop, both socially, academically, and then they're now fluent in the language and can converse very well as well. Here you see one of the fairs that they had at the school. And then our youngest, he's now enrolled in preschool and will be going to this school as well next year for kindergarten. So we continue to get to know people in their community at home through the school connections with our kids. And then providentially, as God would have it, as I was enrolled in a language class when we first got there just to continue to brush up on my language, and I'm trained as an English teacher, so I was considering looking into employment and looking to see if that was something that God would have for me. And we knew about this school that was close by to us, but wasn't really sure it was a place that we would associate with. And I met somebody that works there. He's been there for 10 years. He's also a believer, an American, married to a local. And he said, well, I'll pass your name along. Okay, so the next day I get an email, can you send your resume? I said, okay, I'll send my resume. Within 2 weeks, I was employed at this school. And for, we mentioned about the traffic here earlier, I can walk to this school in 25 minutes. So it's definitely within our community, continues that connection with our local vicinity, and just see how God continues to develop that. So every day I have the privilege to go to this school and bring Jesus to these people. These are, on the left there, you see my lively ninth grade class last year. They were a lot of fun. And, even just as a visual reminder, this is my walk into the school. And I take Jesus, physically as I'm walking through those ivy and that everything, I ask Jesus to come with me every day to work there. The gentleman there on the right, the farthest is one of the assistant principals, and then the center one, he greets the students every morning, just says hello, welcome to school every morning. And so those are two of the administrators at the school. So those are just a little bit of our day-to-day. Christina has this past year been involved in a preschool of sorts that was doing English classes with preschoolers. And this next year, she's looking to expand that. I'll share more of that in a little bit here as well. But there's a group that's looking to open a preschool to be a blessing to the believing community. And she's also been involved in continuing in language learning. So just share you a quick lesson here. Here you see one word, and this is an advertisement for a local dairy on the side of their truck there. But that one word is a noun that also has a pronoun, a possessive pronoun, a preposition, and a subject pronoun. And the verb is just understood. It's all one sentence and one word. So if you get there, and you can see from English it's backwards. Just to give you an idea of what we go through in language learning, service, your, at, we, and the R is just understood. It's not really there. And you have to put that all together in your head and make sense of that. So that's a daily challenge that we face in language learning. So we were pleased to learn, too, that Christina's passed a next level of her language learning, and so we're well on our way with continuing to develop our language skills. And so this past 2 years, we've been engaged with this group. This is a team of people that we now lead in the city, all serving as professionals in the city. The family on the left-hand side is the acting headmaster of a local international school. There's a female there on the left, a single that's gone back to her home country of England, but she hopes to come back someday as well. There's a Mexican family, the green and the red shirts there, also serve at the international school. There's our family to the next one there. And then the family on the right is an actuary at a large insurance company in the city, and she's also looking to see how she can use her counseling skills. So we have this group of professionals, and just want to share with you a little bit of the vision that we have as a team. We call ourselves the Shining Stars, and if you can advance to the next slide, it'll give you a feel for where this comes from. So last summer we had the chance to go to Philippi, and you're tracking with Paul and his missionary journeys. And we think of Paul as the missionary. This was also a traveling companion, as you see there, the Mr. Googly Eye, went with us on our trip. And so Philippi is in close to Thessaloniki. It's in the northeast side of Greece, of modern-day Greece. And here you see just some of the remains of the city, a baptismal that's remains of one of the local fellowships there, the ancient theater. And then this is believed to be the site where Lydia was actually baptized. If you're there on a hot day like we were, it's very refreshing. I recommend visiting that little stream as it is. But they've made a site where you can do baptisms there, and it's an interesting place to visit, and also just inspiring to think of, you know, following in Paul's steps. But Paul, as you know, in Philippians, in Philippi, he was jailed, and he's writing the letter to the Philippians, to the people of Philippi, and he's in prison as well. This is believed to be the actual jail where Paul was imprisoned there in Philippi. But as we look and see in Philippians 2, he says this: "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And he goes on in these verses: "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so why do we do that? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Acknowledge the people that are around us. You know, things aren't the way God intended, as we see all around us. But then, because of this, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Because we're rooted in Christ, because we have the word of God that we follow as our example, then you will shine among them, among those people around you, like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life." That's what we use as our inspiration, as we can continue throughout our daily life. And we, you know, Paul's writing this in prison. As we see it, you know, another passage in Matthew where the Lord Jesus gives his Sermon on the Mount, where he also talks about being a city on a hill, or salt of the earth. the verses just before that, he's talking about, you know, you're going to have trouble. So we shouldn't be surprised when he tells us that we are to be a, you know, model and example to others. But it's also just before that, he's talking about, you know, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have challenges that you face. And, you know, we face challenges in our lives, our daily lives, whether it be here in Lancaster or whether it be in a large city of 15 million people where very few know him as well. So we seek to be like this tower in our city that's spreading light to those people that see it all around. You know, a lighthouse is intended to be something that shows the way. And we too are looking to show the way and demonstrate how people can have a life that's connected to God our Father through Jesus Christ. So our ministry is a little bit different than traditional missionaries, as you might think it. We go with a model of business for transformation, or in my case, professional for transformation. So we're seeking to do what we do with excellence. Business, you may have heard of term of business as mission. And Paul himself was a tent maker. We think of Paul the missionary, but he didn't just go, and that was not the only thing he did. As he was going, just as we read in Matthew 28, you know, that as you are going, Jesus talks about go and make disciples, but it's better translated, as you're going, these are the things that you should be doing. And so Paul, as he was going around making tents, he was declaring the gospel. He was declaring Jesus to the people he came in contact with. And that's what we seek to do. We share our skills. We share what it is that God has gifted us with. And as we're going, we're also seeking to share Jesus. So we have what we like to call a double bottom line. We do what we do with excellence, the skills that we carry, but then we also seek to declare Jesus as we relate to people in our daily life. So we've also had the privilege. We mentioned we were involved in a congregation for a year and a half, and we wanted to be involved in a place that was closer to where we live, where we could be more engaged. And so we've come across this couple here in the middle. They live very close to us. We can walk to their house, and their daughter is actually enrolled in the same school as our sons. So we have a close relationship in that regard. And this couple is really has a heart for discipleship. They've seen a lot of growth in the church in their, you know, over their years, but they really have a heart and a passion for discipleship, to really make sure people are grounded and rooted in Christ. So we've partnered with this couple here in the last few months this year, and right now we're meeting in their living room for our Sunday morning fellowship. But they're looking to see, you know, what are the areas of the city that haven't been reached, that don't have a gospel witness, that they could plant a new fellowship. So we just ask for continued grace over this couple, and then direction as we continue in the days ahead. I mentioned Christina is looking at some new possibilities for this next season of her life as well. That lady in the center, she works at the international school that some of our colleagues partner at as well. And this woman, as well as another, are looking to see a preschool or a grade school that they might be able to open to serve the believing community, but also be open to anybody. So just another touch point for people to continue to communicate the gospel through their daily life. It wouldn't be expressly a Christian school per se, as you can't necessarily share directly the gospel truths, but you know, you could share biblical moral values or moral stories as well. So they're looking to see, and particularly be a safe place for their children to study. It can be challenging for Christian students, and particularly in the public school setting, just facing, you know, bullying and other things. So just looking to see providing a safe place for their children to learn. They can continue on. So as we just continue our partnership together with you, just some prayer requests that we wanted to put before you. As I mentioned, this new home group, this church group that we're looking to see how we can focus on discipleship and planning logistics for this preschool believing families in the local community, and also just our relationships within the community, local friends. People are moving. It is a big city. Just another one of those just moved away. And they're grieving the loss of their friends, but also we want to maintain a connection with that family as well. Challenging life situations. The economy has been particularly stressful for a lot of locals in the last several years. And so looking to see how we can just be a blessing to people as well. Ask for, just for myself and the boys, Micah is actually, our oldest, is going to change to the school that I teach at next year. See that as another way that we can just continue to develop relationships in that environment, but also continue for him to develop academically and socially as well. So just pray for that transition as he moves to sixth grade there next year. And this ask for wisdom and discernment as we lead our team. This is a new role for us in this team. We have still have great leadership over us as well, so we're looking forward to see how God continues to grow us and this team together as well. I'm not, just ask for the current events in the country. There have been some significant political stresses. They've recently had a runoff election in our city, which was people weren't quite sure how it was going to turn out, which also affected the economic situation. But just ask for God's direction over this country, and that they can be a blessing to people around them as well, as we hope to see God continue to transform this nation. So
let's go to God and give God thanks. Andrew and Christina and the boys are going to be in Fellowship Hall during coffee hour. I encourage you to stop by and ask questions and just find out more about their ministry that they're in together with us also as a congregation. They represent you as they're over there as well as representing our Savior. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for an opportunity to hear how you are at work in this place that doesn't always welcome you, and how you are working with Andrew and Christina in such a way that they can be that light on a hill and encourage them and stoke their fire and their enthusiasm. We ask for a hedge of protection around their boys, that you would watch over them. We give you thanks for this cultural experience that they're going to have that will make them richer and make them just better people. Watch over them and strengthen them in all that they do. We pray this now in your holy name. Amen.